Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, it's our last show of 2013, and today we're going to talk about something a bit different. We're all looking forward, I'm sure, to a fresh start in the new year, and I trust with meaningful resolutions and a bucket list of initiatives that we're going to accomplish next year. But here's some bad news, kind of a wet blanket on your New Year's celebration. Out of the blue, maybe next year, or perhaps the year after, some of us are going to be confronted with a life-threatening illness, either to ourselves or to a loved one. Perhaps you've already been diagnosed and are beside yourself with worry about the future. And regular listeners know the clarion call of this program at middle age, wake up and take control of your life, become CEO of you. And our guest here today has precisely the same type of message for anyone who is battling a life-threatening disease. The quicker you move on from the initial fear to the core instinct to fight, the better your chances of winning, and you are CEO of that fight for your life or for your health and joy in the future. And you, not your doctor, should make the final informed decision on the nature of your ailment and the preferred treatment protocol going forward. Because and she's not telling you you should completely ignore your doctor, obviously. You just don't blindly follow everything that your doctor tells you without questioning. And you have a lot more skin in the game than your doctor does, because it's your life we're talking about. And our guest is Julia Shofik. She's a best-selling author and a dynamic public speaker. She created the award-winning blog HonestMedicine.com. She speaks and conducts teleseminars for doctors, patients, and patient advocacy groups, I can't say that very well, all around the country. And her articles on health and medical topics are featured in publications like the AMA American Medical News, the British Medical Journal, and the Chicago Sun-Times. And she's author of the highly acclaimed book, Honest Medicine, Effective, Time-Tested, Inexpensive Treatments for Life-Threatening Diseases. And she herself was a patient advocate for her ill husband for 15 years. And hello, Julia, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Hi, Roy. It's such a pleasure to be with you today. And to be your final guest for this year is wonderful. So thank you.
Yeah, and please begin by telling us a little about your own inspiring story of how you became a patient care advocate. It's a sad story because obviously Tim's no longer with us, but tell us a little about how he got 15 years out of the diagnosis that said he only had 3 years to live.
Well, it's a sad story and an inspiring one, but I want to point out that in the very beginning, when we found out that Tim had a very serious cancerous brain tumor, it was 1990, and he was only 40 years old.
Yeah.
And he was diagnosed with this cancerous brain tumor the size of an orange. Doctors always like to compare tumors to fruit sizes.
Yeah, they do.
And we found this out, and I have to tell you, I'm a doctor's daughter, and my father had actually taught me never to believe everything a doctor says, never
good,
to just follow.
Good fatherly advice.
He did. He was not fond of his fellow doctors, I have to tell you. But you know something, Roy? I just went, and so did my husband, and he was an attorney. I mean, you would not have expected it. We went into lockstep with what the doctors said.
Yeah, that's what you tend to do, I guess.
Well,
most people
I'm telling people this, I'm telling your listeners this, so that they shouldn't be ashamed of themselves if that's what happens to them.
Yeah.
You know, that we're all human, and we just get terrified. And so this is what we did. And, luckily, Tim survived. He had the surgery, which he did need. I mean, the tumor was huge. and the radiation and the chemotherapy. And I began to see after about a few years, you know, 3 years, he was supposed to, you know, not have survived beyond that.
Yeah.
But he was surviving.
Yeah.
But I saw that he was developing every side effect. That
was he still getting chemo after the 3 years? Or?
No. But, you know, you bring up a good point, Roy, because especially radiation is the gift that keeps on giving. I'm saying that with slight irony. I know. Radiation.
I tried to have some dental implants recently, and I couldn't have them because I had radiation back in 1989, and I'm having all kinds of problems getting the implants in.
So you understand about radiation being the gift that keeps
yes,
on
I
giving,
do.
Right?
I sure do.
Because that's like a theme of my story, in a sense, because so he did have problems, you know, from the radiation. This is a man in his early 40s at this point.
Yeah.
He started to get a radiation-caused stroke. I mean, I was like, how could he get a stroke at this age? I said, well, you know, radiation to the brain often brings on strokes. I said,
great.
I didn't know that.
That's great news.
I know, good news. And then he got a ton of seizures, and he got what's called hydrocephalus, which is water on the brain.
Oh.
Again, probably a side effect, you know, from the treatments.
Yeah.
And I realized that I better start doing some research. I better start hopping, too.
Yeah.
So I did. And I found some of the most amazing treatments. Most of them, I have to say, my best discovery was finding a nutritionist named Dr. Jean Wallace.
Oh.
And Dr. Jean Wallace is a wonderful nutritionist, and she knows more than a lot of the doctors do, and she cleaned up his diet, or through her, we cleaned up his diet.
Yeah. It
started giving him a ton of supplements, and he started thriving.
Great.
And what I noticed was that the doctors didn't seem to notice. Okay. And, you know, he would even try to tell them, you know, they'd say, well, what meds are you on? And he would tell them, and then he'd say, but I'm on a lot of supplements. And they'd say, well, next question. We're not.
Yeah, they don't want to hear about the supplements.
No.
Some of them do.
No, they didn't. But all was okay for a long time because, you know, I figured they're not stopping me and they're not stopping Tim from eating better and from doing these things.
No, they can't
then,
do that.
In 2001, he got a recurrence of the tumor. And I have to point out that this was 11 years later.
Yeah.
And usually the recurrence, if it's going to come, comes very soon. So we knew we were doing something right. But this was the time when my real aha moment, my deciding I would start being a patient advocate for others came about. Because this time, his skin would not heal. Remember I talked about the gift that keeps on giving is radiation?
Oh, that was why, I guess.
Exactly. His skin was so fragile, and it had not healed up that well in the beginning, you know, in 1990.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this time, it didn't heal.
Oh, wow.
And the doctors kept doing what they knew how to do, which was one more surgery out of
digging around in somebody's brain, and it's just horrible.
It was 8 extra surgeries, Roy.
Wow.
And with each one, he became sicker and sicker and sicker.
That's horrible to even hear about.
Until finally, he was brain injured even much more than he had been. I mean, he had walked into the surgery, you know, in a great mood. He couldn't walk anymore.
Oh,
he was bedbound. He was incontinent and severely brain injured. And at that point, I meet a doctor whom I actually knew, but I meet him in a new context, you know, through a client.
Yeah.
And he said, "How's your husband doing?" And I said, "Oh my God, terrible! He's in the hospital and he's not healing." He said, "Have you heard of Silverlon?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Silverlon, silver what? You know?" And he told me about this treatment, FDA approved for all non-healing wounds. That
Silverlon is just like a cloth or something.
It's amazing, Roy. It's a cloth that is impregnated with silver ions.
Oh.
And I don't know if you know, but silver has great antimicrobial qualities. As a matter of fact, before antibiotics were developed, silver was one of the healing agents used at Johns Hopkins, you know, for non-healing wounds.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, my God, what is this? So I learned about it quickly. I then got the doctor at the hospital to okay my putting it on Tim's head. I got the company, Argentum, to you know, to give us the Silver Lawn for free. I mean,
yeah.
And now I know they wanted the doctors to see how well it worked. So that
yeah,
maybe,
of course,
you know.
They always have an ulterior motive.
I know. But in any case, I put it on Tim's head because Dr. Flick, the president of the company, had told me exactly how to do it. Mm. And it's not a simple process. And lo and behold, the next day it was obvious that the skin was starting to heal.
Yeah.
And I was excited. And I thought the doctors would be too, because this is a problem that happens a lot
yeah.
with previously radiated skin, especially with brain tumors, because there's not that much excess skin. You know, it just really breaks apart.
Yeah.
So the doctors did not seem excited.
Huh.
And one of them showed me that he was actually far from excited. He
huh.
came up to me and he said, "You know, I don't think it was what you found with the accent on you that worked."
So it was all his surgeries.
Exactly. I said, "Well, what do you think it was, doctor?" He said, "Well," he says, "I think it was the vancomycin." I said, "But doctor, that's the IV antibiotic he's been on for at least 6 weeks." He said, "Yeah." And then he furrowed his brow. I mean, I'm not kidding with this. And he said, "Vanco is like that. It kicks in."
Yeah.
I was stunned. And that was the moment that I knew that something was drastically wrong with
yeah.
our medical system.
Yes,
you know, if they
true.
Can't even learn from patients, you know, they can't learn, then this is something that's dangerous. It's
yeah,
terrible.
And
I vowed that someday when I had the time, you know, I mean, for the next 3.5 years, I was
yeah.
taking care of my husband.
Yeah.
But then I would help other people. That
yeah.
was a very long way of telling you that that's how I got into
yeah,
to trying to find other treatments that doctors don't know about, but that are really much more wonderful than
yeah.
than a lot of the treatments doctors are using. And I wanted to educate patients about them.
Yeah, it's so important in a somewhat different but related subject. You get some second opinions if you don't like what your first doctor tells you. Because when I was back in 1989, I was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer down in San Antonio, Texas. And they prescribed chemotherapy and all that good stuff. But since we were moving up to the Des Moines, Iowa area, I switched doctors and saw a wonderful doctor up here named Dr. Roscoe Morton. And he took the time to really delve into the diagnosis. And he said, "I think they've diagnosed it wrong." And it turned out what I needed was surgery rather than chemotherapy. And probably the chemo wouldn't have even done the trick. And then I went up to see a couple surgeons, because this Dr. Morton was an oncologist, not a surgeon. And the first one scared the bejesus out of me, because this tumor was up in my nasal cavity. And he said, "We'll have to remove the top of your mouth and put a prosthetic device in there." And I thought, what kind of a quality of life is it going to be having a hole in the top of my mouth the rest of my life? And this doctor had a very bad bedside manner as well, scared the bejesus out of me. And I went and saw a second surgeon the next day, and he said, "We don't need to remove the top of your mouth," and he explained just why. And I was so pleased that I had him operate on it the next day, and 24 years later, I've had no recurrence.
Oh,
the only problem,
marvelous.
I did some follow-up radiation, and now I'm having problems getting implants. But
you know, the radiation is the gift that keeps on giving, you
yeah.
know, and I guess I would advise, you know, obviously sometimes we need to have radiation, but
yeah.
if it's only going to improve things by a small amount, I would sort of say, you know, I'm not so sure, because
yeah.
it made Tim's skin so fragile.
Yeah,
that
if I had to do it over again, I would not take the radiation. But,
yeah.
You know, we
yeah.
can find kind of a cleanup thing. But
That's how I feel.
Well, let's say that you, the listener, have just been diagnosed with cancer, MS, or some other life-threatening disease, and the doctor's prognosis is not good, but you've vowed to fight. Could you give us a few steps that would help someone follow if their gut, your gut told you to look into other treatments or other ways? Well, how would you go about looking into that?
I could actually compress the steps into just a few.
Yeah.
And what I would first say is, you know, check with the doctor to make sure, you know, that you really feel that you should step outside the box. But I usually advise stepping outside the box once you do know that something
yeah.
isn't working.
Yeah.
But go online That is one of the first things. And
yeah.
Doctors will say, oh, no, you shouldn't go online because there's so much bad information.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but there's a lot of great information online.
Yeah, how do you tell the good from the bad?
You want to know something, Roy? I think I'm going to conduct some teleseminars. I'm already conducting some teleseminars about one of the treatments, which I hope you'll let me talk about, low-dose naltrexone.
Yeah, no, that's the one I wanted to talk about.
But you know something? I think I could also, after all these years of learning about the Internet, I could probably teach a class, a teleseminar, in how to tell the good sites from the bad.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I'm going to tell you is I can't give all the hints right away because they're complicated in a sense. But one thing is, look for ulterior motives as to why a site is up.
Yeah.
First of all, it might
especially if it's a drug company site.
Yes. It can be a thinly veiled ad for a drug company. You know what I love? When you watch the drug ads on television, they say, for more information about lupus, go to stoplupus.com.
Yeah.
And what do you think stoplupus.com is? I'm making it up, Roy. But
an
it's,
ad for
of
their
course,
drug, obviously.
A drug, exactly.
Yeah. I also love those ads that they spend about half the ad telling you all the possible side effects.
God.
The reason why you should be cautious about taking it.
Tell me about it, but that's one thing. But there's something else a little bit more I like. I guess I'm going to use the word insidious, and that is that a lot of these websites, they are thinly veiled, but they're veiled.
Yeah.
In other words, some of the most prestigious websites, if you look up the doctor's background who's writing this article on, treatments for rheumatoid arthritis, you'll find out that he or she has gotten money from drug companies.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you think his art,
and
I once wrote an article about, it was on my website, and if anybody wants me to send it to them, write to me at julie@honestmedicine.com, the title of my book and the website. I once wrote a column for for Honest Medicine that talked about just this, that there were, quote, studies that were done that really were thinly veiled. They were done by people with connections to the pharmaceutical industry that they were writing about. So that's the first thing, okay?
Yeah.
The second thing, so that's one thing. Know which websites you're dealing with and how can you tell one that's good? It's not always what people try to tell you. For instance, the treatment that I write about, low-dose naltrexone, the website that is the premier website about low-dose naltrexone is called ldninfo.org.
Oh.
And unfortunately, now I'm going to say something, it's put up by a very kind, wonderful man who's actually written a chapter in my book in Honest Medicine, and his son. And it's a doctor and his son, so it's not well designed, but it's got fantastic information, and you'll be able to tell. And as I said, when I do the teleseminar about how to choose a website, I will be sharing how to find that. I'm not trying to keep it, but it's pretty subtle, and I have to define how I know, but I do know.
I like your suggestion to visit online patient groups because to talk to other
That's
people.
That's one of my favorites. Online patient groups. Doctors say, don't go there. Don't go to online patient groups because it's just anecdotal. No. You know something? Anecdotal is when it happened to one person.
Yeah, that's right.
Patient evidence-based medicine or patient evidence-based treatments, it's a term that a friend of mine and I really coined, and I should probably trademark it.
Yeah.
It means that these treatments have helped thousands of people.
Yeah.
And they're like the treatments in my book, like the treatments in Honest Medicine that I write about. You cannot call them anecdotal. When you visit patient online groups, you see loads of people saying, I used low-dose naltrexone for my rheumatoid arthritis. I used low-dose naltrexone, successfully for my fibromyalgia, for my multiple sclerosis. And you hear story after story after story. And, to me, that is pretty impressive. do you know what I'm saying? That more than several people. And in the case of the treatments that I write about in my book, In Honest Medicine, it's thousands of people. I set that bar so high because I decided I don't want it that anyone can come back and say to me, Julia, you wrote about anecdotal treatments. I did not. I wrote about treatments that thousands of people have gotten better because of.
Well, tell us a little about one of these treatments. We don't have time, obviously, to discuss all of them, but tell us a little about this LDN, this low-dose, I can't pronounce, Naltrexone.
Okay, I can pronounce it, Naltrexone, and it took a while for me to learn.
Okay.
You know what's so wonderful? Do I have enough time to tell the story of it?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, because this, to me, you know, this man, Dr. Bernard Bahari, I believe deserved the Nobel Prize. And unfortunately, from what I understand, you can't give a Nobel Prize to somebody who has since died. You know, he did die in 2010. But what a genius. He found out, he was working with drug addicts when this drug, Naltrexone, in high doses was FDA approved at 50. That's 50 milligrams, and it was approved because at high doses it was supposed to make it so that heroin addicts would not be able to get high when they would try to do heroin. And Dr. Bahari was working with heroin addicts at this point. He was very, very high up in New York City government, you know, working with addicts. And he said, you know, I'm here and I should really, let me try this. And he tried high dose naltrexone on some of the addicts, and it was like, oh my God, the side effects were so horrendous that they couldn't even remember something from one day to the other, you know. But he was curious, something I wish so many doctors would be today. And he noticed that this naltrexone had some effect on the immune system. It was raising endorphin levels. And he said, I wonder if we could get the same effect with lowering the dose. I mean, he said at 50 milligrams and higher, it's hopeless, for at least for his patients. And a lot of his patients, it turned out, had also had what is now known as AIDS. It was a disease they didn't even know the name for in the 1980s. And he started giving it at very low doses, which he called low-dose naltrexone, and he found that the AIDS was not progressing anymore. And he reasoned that this was because AIDS was, which he didn't know the name of, remember?
No, it didn't come about till the 90s, I guess.
Exactly. And he realized that AIDS was one of many, many, many diseases that had immune dysfunction, immune system dysfunction at their base. So one of his daughter had a friend, and she had multiple sclerosis. She came to her best friend's father, Dr. Bahari, and she said, what should I take? And he said, let's try this low-dose naltrexone on you. And he did, and the MS stopped progressing.
Oh, that's great.
And this went on and on. He became known for working with people with autoimmune diseases, people with lupus, fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, chronic fatigue, all of these diseases. And by the way,
you mentioned Crohn's disease too, I think.
It does. And as a matter of fact, you know, studies began to bear him out because Penn State did some really impressive small studies on Crohn's disease and low-dose naltrexone. All of the studies came out saying very impressive.
And the amazing thing is it's not real expensive, this drug, which is probably why the drug companies don't push for it.
No,
what did
you
say,
what?
Like $50 a month or something like that?
You know what? That's actually an exaggeration. And I put that, you know, in materials because I don't, you know, some of the pharmacies do charge that, you know, up to $1 a day or 50. But you know what? There are some compounding pharmacies that charge much, much less. So it's very, very, very cheap. And I am finding, I'm actually going to write another book. I'm in the process of it with stories. Honest Medicine has wonderful stories about people with multiple sclerosis who got better using low-dose naltrexone. It also has stories about people using other treatments like the ketogenic diet and intravenous alpha-lipoic acid, you know, for seizures in the case of the ketogenic diet, and liver disease in the case of intravenous alpha-lipoic acid. But my next book is going to be about several different people with different life-threatening diseases all getting better with low-dose naltrexone.
Well, is this how difficult is it to get a doctor to prescribe this for you? It is a prescription drug, I guess.
It is. And the wonderful thing is the multiple sclerosis patients have put together a list of doctors, and there are hundreds. And there are even doctors outside of the country who are prescribing it. As a matter of fact, I was at a conference recently about all about low-dose naltrexone. You know, Roy, the numbers of doctors that came to the conference to learn about it was astounding.
That's great.
There were doctors from, are you ready for this, Scotland and Ireland? And they came because they were speakers. And, you know, the groups that brought them.
Scotland, I would think, came because the drug's cheap.
Well, you know, I don't know if Dr. Tom.
Out there, I was just kidding.
I'm going to tell Dr. Tom Gilhooly that you said that. And you want to know something? I know that Tom Gilhooly, who is a wonderful doctor, I know cheap in Scotland, he paid his own way to come. I know, he's not so cheap.
No, not really.
But the fact of the matter is that more and more doctors, and I'm teaching teleseminars now. If any of your listeners are interested, write to me at julie@honestmedicine.com because I just finished my first teleseminar series on how to convince your doctor to prescribe low-dose naltrexone.
Great. Yeah, that's certainly something worthwhile. And I like what you mentioned, some of the common characteristics of the three treatments you recommend, and they've been around for many years. Thousands have benefited, and no one makes a big profit off it, which is probably
that's quieter. The biggest one. You want to know something? I'm always suspicious, Roy. You know, it's wonderful for a doctor who has been on the payroll of a pharma company to say, oh, yeah, I think you should take this drug. Nobody's making big money off of this. As a matter of fact, the doctors that are prescribing it and are becoming known for prescribing it may be making less than their fellow doctors.
Yeah.
Because, do you know what I'm saying? It's like they're not making money off of it. And the pharmacists that sell it, I mean, one of them, Skip Lenz is his name, and he's fantastic.
Yeah.
He was on my teleseminar last night. And he says, my partners are getting mad at me because I sell it for so little.
Yeah.
He believes in it.
Yeah.
And this is something that seems to not, it seems to be gone from modern medicine, that they really care and believe in something.
Yeah.
And so it's wonderful. And so I set the bar very high. These treatments that I wrote about, in Honest Medicine, had to have been around for many, many years.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear of anything that, you know, I didn't want to write about anything that was newfangled.
You don't want something that's real high, you know, not proven and hasn't cured a bunch of people. And
I had to have something. But you know what else? All of them that I wrote about have patients. Once the patients find out that this helped them, they're on a mission.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
No, those are the perfect kind of treatments is when patients get on a mission to tell other people and they've had such benefits to their lives that they want the word out. That's the greatest kind.
And you know the most beautiful thing? The people that are part of the people who participated in my first book, In Honest Medicine, which I hope people will buy.
Yeah.
And by the way, Amazon.com has it temporarily out of stock. I hope that by the end of the year they will not, you know, it's just been selling so well.
Yeah,
but Barnes & Noble, you can still get it within
Okay, so you go to BarnesandNoble.com to get it right now.
And you can get it right now.
And that book is called Honest Medicine, Effective, Time-Tested, Inexpensive Treatments for Life-Threatening Diseases. And what's the best way to, you gave your website again, to access those award-winning blogs that you have on there?
Oh, you mean, that is honestmedicine.com.
Yeah, it's honestmedicine.com. And
it has won awards. So so that is the website. My book has won awards, too.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, you know something? I think if you write from your heart and you work very hard, she was 94 at the time. My mother was my proofreader. And she caught, I don't think you can find a typo in it. I wouldn't let the editors. I said, you know, you got to let my ma take a crack at this first.
That's great. Well, you know, if your loved one or you have been diagnosed with a life-threatening disease, you and not your doctor have the most gain to gain or lose. And as Julia points out in her book, many are hesitant to question or confront their physician when they learn of a potential better way because they're afraid the doctor will be angry if you question his or her judgment. But the honest truth is, you know, if you've done your research and you approach your doctor respectably, he or she will not shut you off. And if he or she does, I think it's time to look for a new doctor, because the kind of physician that you and I want and deserve is one who considers you a full equal partner in battling your disease. And as in any partnership, there may be disagreements, but partners share info and talk them out. And in some cases, your doctor may be right, obviously, and know some things that you don't know. And so you need to listen to them, but they need to listen to you as well. And I would certainly walk away from any closed-minded doctor who is trained and not educated, as you put it, Julia. They're trained but not educated in medicine. They take these rote exams, but they don't really have a mind open to think, and they just want to prescribe what other doctors are prescribing.
You know something, Roy? I couldn't have said it better myself. You're absolutely right. And then this train, by the way, if one chapter in my book that you've got to read is the one by Dr. Bert Berkson, because he talks about just what you said, trained and not educated.
Yeah, that's probably where I got that idea, actually.
Yeah. Isn't there a big difference between training and education?
Yeah.
Training is like, you know, like in the Army, do this, one, two, three, four. Education is like, wait a minute, let me think.
Yeah, that's right. Let me think is the key for the students. And whether or not you're currently battling a major illness, I highly recommend you preview Julia's book. And you can do that you can do that on Amazon, although it's not available. So maybe you better go to barnesandnoble.com.
We hope that it will be available soon. They must have been backlogged with just
order. That's probably good. They just better get some more in there.
Okay.
But in closing, I'd like to quote an endorsement on the back cover of your book from Mary Shulman, a best-selling New York Times author. And she said, "Julia Shopik is one of those rare people who can go through an agonizingly difficult experience and go on to transform her pain into a passionate, clear-headed campaign to help others." And quite frankly, in a nutshell, I think that says it all. And it's somebody that you want to pay attention to, is someone that's been there and done that and looked for a better way and found it and wants to share it.
I really appreciate this. You have brought out so many wonderful points about my book, and it has several endorsements, which I'm very, very proud of that, you know, of some very high-powered medical people, including Mary
Shulman. Yeah, some doctors, too, so it's not all.
Yeah, no.
Some of them are willing to open their minds and listen.
And I'm, you know, if you go on Amazon and also on Barnes and Noble, the endorsement by Jeffrey Dash is quite incredible because, as he writes in my book, in Honest Medicine, he says, you know, he began to think of when he was in med school and in training, the pun, training rather than education, he's thought back to all these times when he used the conventional treatments, and he thought back to, oh, my goodness, you know, low-dose naltrexone would have worked much better.
Yeah.
The ketogenic diet would have worked much better. When I hear from doctors like that who really think, it just touches me.
Yeah, it should. And thanks a million, Julia, for joining us here today, and I hope you have a most happy and prosperous new year. And to all of you out there, I hope the same, and I'll see you all next year. Thanks for joining us. Thank you so much, Julia.
Thank you so much, Roy. I really appreciated it.
Well, this is our final program of 2013, and we continue on the theme of moving forward in our lives in the new year. And for a lot of us, one of the major enhancements needed is genuine relaxation from some real quality vacation time. And if you're like me, you and the family may have taken some hurry-up vacations, so much to do, so many arrangements to make, long days of stressful driving through summer construction zones and traffic jams, that you come home more tired out than when you left. And what if you could find someone who could do all the driving for you, make all the reservations, handle all the arrangements for you? Someone who offers a wide variety of options, from long weekend escapes to extended super deluxe cruises and cross-country motor coach adventures. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, I've discovered a website that all of us, especially those who are tired of these stressful vacations you've been taking, would be interested in. The website is www.seniortours.com, and its sponsor is Senior Tours Vacation, senior travel expert since 1978. And our guest representing Senior Tours Vacations is Nicholas Plagge. And hello, Nick, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Hey, Roy, I appreciate the fine introduction there. I'm happy to be here.
Well, your company name is Senior Tours, but you actually don't have any strict age restrictions that you have to be over like 55 or something to go on.
No, that's a great question. In fact, we often have several generations of travelers on the same bus trip with us. We often get grandparents who bring along their kids, and it's a kind of fun for all ages type of situation. Everybody has a great time from the oldest to the youngest.
Yeah, that sounds great to have that mix there. And you offer two primary types of escorted vacation packages. There's motor coach tours and cruises, I guess. But it's really interesting, the different lengths of vacations. I noticed you had a one-day holiday in New York City to a 25-day super deluxe cross-country package.
True. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, just tell us a little about some of the things you offer there.
Yeah, we really, there's kind of something for everybody out there. I think that, a lot of folks love to take a little bit more of a staycation than a vacation sometimes.
Yeah.
And we can help them arrange something that's a little bit close to home, but maybe just the right length of a getaway to recharge them a little bit. And then there are the really kind of indulgent longer vacations that basically are the trips that are on people's bucket list, so to speak.
Yeah.
And stuff like Yellowstone or California. We've got a 25-day trip down to three different cities in Florida. Southwestern kind of adventure this winter. So there's really something for everybody from somebody who just wants to get away for the day to somebody who wants to have the trip that they've been saving their whole lives for.
Yeah, well, no, these motor coach tours obviously are guided tours and they're a package type deal, but you also have thousands of cruise options, I know, and I guess a person could book a cruise through you and wouldn't have to. Are they sometimes guided, or sometimes people just go on their own, or how does that work?
You know, these days a lot of folks do choose to go on their own for cruises. We work with all the major cruise lines, and they've kind of got it down to a science at this point, and how to kind of take over where we leave off in terms of the great customer service experience. We do have groups who on occasion would like to have an escort on board, and you can be guaranteed that the hands in the office go up as soon as a cruise escorting a gig is mentioned. But these days, more often than not, somebody can book through us, and like you said, we've got 1,000 different cruise options everywhere from leaving out of the East Coast to the West Coast down in Florida. There's definitely similar to the bus trips.
You have an online booking option where you can fill in destinations you want to go to and cost range and all kinds of good stuff, and you come up with some interesting quotes there, I assume.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. Yeah, we do. For cruises especially, we've got a great, real comprehensive search functionality right on our website on our cruises page, and you can actually hop right over to that. It's just seniortours.com/cruises, and you'll see all the options there, and you'd be hard pressed not to find something that fits the time frame that you're looking for and your budget and all kinds of good stuff.
And what are some of the advantages of booking a cruise through you as opposed to going directly, say, to Carnival or Princess or Holland America or whatever?
Yeah, we often get some really we book our group space well in advance, which typically means that we get rates that further down the line people are really hard pressed to beat. So we're part of different kind of consortiums. We book on our own, and you can always know that we'll be there to also make sure that everything goes as smoothly as possible with the cruise line.
Great. Well, I know you said that you can depart for a number of East Coast ports and other ports. Where do your most of your motor coach tours depart from? Is there a certain location that most of them go out of? Or
Most of the motor coach tours originate in the Northeast. That said, we've recently, as we kind of expand into additional markets, you know, we're based in the Philadelphia region, and a lot of our passengers come from New York and New Jersey and Philadelphia and parts of Delaware and Baltimore even. We've gotten a whole host of people who opt to either fly into the East Coast or meet the coach somewhere along the way. We just did the two buses down to the Big Easy in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And we had a family fly in from Southern California to do the trip.
Yeah,
so
nothing wrong with flying to Philadelphia.
No,
like
no, you could even make
Fields
it.
Fields might say. Well, if I'm interested, do I need to join an organization and pay an annual membership fee? I know there are a lot of these vacation deals out there where you sign up and pay an annual fee, or how does that work?
No. In fact, we think that anybody from a single traveler to a group of 50 who wants to take the whole bus for themselves, there's no additional fees. Everything is right out there. We try to fill every vacation with some really fantastic activities. You know, we've got step on guys in every city that we visit take people around and show them the parts of the city that only the locals kind of know. We've definitely kind of set the pace for our travelers in a way that is really relaxing. And
that's the great thing about a motor coach tour or a cruise, that you can really relax and somebody else takes all the responsibility for everything, and you just sit back and have a good time.
It sure is. It's nice to just leave the driving to somebody else, and basically the only thing you have to worry about is what you're going to have for a drink in the afternoon.
Yeah, I was very interested to see. I didn't realize there were actually motor coaches. Your coaches have some cocktail bars on them for people.
That's right. Yeah, we might be the only motor coach operator at this point to still do things with that level of customer service, where we're bringing around snacks. Our escorts are bringing around chocolates and food and playing games and giving out prizes all day long on the bus.
Well, you mentioned that you also have options for church or fraternal or community groups who want a vacation together. I guess you can either charter a coach, or can you have you will arrange a tour for a group, or how does that work?
Sure. As a matter of fact, we just are in the process of arranging a trip for a church group to go down to the EWTN studios down there in the South. Yeah,
yeah.
A group will often call us and say, "Hey, we'd really love to do something that's a little maybe off the beaten track, or something that we don't have in our vacation planner," and we're happy to oblige. And we work with them just day by day, just deciding what kind of activities they are must-sees for the group and things that they would love to do while they're in a particular area. And we go from there. We do it all the time. So if you don't see something in the vacation planner online that suits your fancy, and we can pretty much do anything anything where you could get to on a bus, we could do it.
Yeah, so the best way to get in touch with you is to go online to www.seniortours.com. You also have an 800 number, I guess. What's that?
We sure do. It's there are a couple 800 numbers, but 800 SENTOUR. That's 800 Centaur.
Yeah.
SENTOUR. Or you can, our email is info@seniortours.com.
Oh,
so we're happy to.
So if you
want to answer any questions that way.
If you had a group that you wanted to inquire about a trip for them, you'd send it to info@seniortours.com.
Sure would, or give us a call, whatever is easy.
Yeah, and this sounds really appealing to me, and I got taken in a few years ago by one of these vacation clubs where you pay an annual fee, and you really don't get anything unless you arrange the vacation through them, and I'm not sure I got any better prices from going through them than I would have on my own. But this one, you don't have to pay a membership fee. But if you're contemplating a really relaxing vacation, these are the people to certainly check out. And you middle-aged folks with children that aren't, you know, fairly young, don't be fooled by the title, because they do encourage people of all ages to go on their tours. So I definitely would recommend that. And also, if you're an empty nester or teenagers nearly grown, you really have earned the right to a genuine relaxation alone or with your spouse or a few close friends or a group. And these are the guys to get in touch with.
Thanks, Roy. I appreciate that.
Yeah, isn't it time to sit back and take the vacation of your dreams? And thank you so much, Nick, for joining us, and hope you get a lot of customers out of our interested listeners.
Roy, I really appreciate it, and can't wait to talk to your listeners and show them the time of their lives.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.